This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, glad you could join us here on SB Nation AM, SB Nation Radio. Still processing the Super Bowl from Sunday and the Patriots 10-point, 13-3 victory. And I think it's cool because on Monday morning, you know, the game was only really a couple of hours old, so we're still trying to process what we saw. And then you get all the sort of detailed analysis of what exactly took place, what was behind the scenes, some good reporting going on. Todd Gurley's mystery is still up in the air. But do we have a better appreciation on Tuesday of this game rather than immediate reaction on Monday? Man, I tell you right now, I look back on some posts of some friends on Facebook and Twitter. Boy, it's boring. I'm leaving. I can't. And I thought to myself, okay, there was no scoring. But the reality was that was still a tied game in the fourth quarter. Whether or not it was 3-3 or 30-30, it shouldn't be. It was completely irrelevant. The game was not in hand by any one of the teams until the fourth quarter. So when I see my friends saying, oh, the first quarter was boring, I'm going to stop watching it. Why would you stop watching the Super Bowl? If you were invested in the game for whatever reason, why would you have stopped because it's 3-3? So I start thinking to myself, we are losing defense appreciation. We are losing the defensive appreciation of the game. Now, a lot of this is because the NFL is telling us that offense is the king, and we're going to make the rules because you like scoring, so we're going to respond by helping teams score. But as we've been saying all this time, defense will eventually make a return. You can't have an NFL where teams are going to average 40 points per game. You can't have an NFL where it's played on 100-yard fields with 11 professional athletes on the defensive side of the ball and then play arena football. Part of the appeal of arena football is defense is not even acknowledged. I mean, it's just, hey, let's throw it around a little bit. It's a short field. Scoring is quick. And then let's rung up the score and let's play this exciting game. But defense is a prideful position in the NFL. And guys are going to play it, and they're going to play it well. And guys are going to devise schemes to stop offenses. You saw that in the Super Bowl by both defensive coordinators. And yet people still found it boring. We're going to evaluate Bill Belichick and Brian Flores' plan and execute it to perfection. Does that one belong in the Hall of Fame? We'll talk about that next on SB Nation 8.
This is SB Nation AM. On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, so Bill Belichick and his defensive game plan against the Buffalo Bills in Super Bowl 25 when he was the assistant or defensive coordinator with the Giants is in the Hall of Fame. It really was an amazing defensive performance by the Giants. I mean, look, we talk a lot about that Super Bowl as, you know, Otis Anderson running the ball and running the ball a lot, and Jeff Hostetler using a kind of a ball control offense, time off the clock, keep the Bills off the field. But in reality, the defense of the Giants allowed Thurman Thomas to run wild, but did a great job of kind of limiting Jim Kelly in throwing the football. Still, the Bills were a Scott Norwood field goal away from winning that Super Bowl, but 20-19, you know, it wasn't, you know, in the 30s. They kept that game close, and it kept that game in control for the Giants. But I think this performance, this game plan, and I don't know, you know, how much it was Belichick and or Brian Flores, whoever gets the credit for putting together most of the defensive game plan, I'd probably put it on more of Belichick's shoulders anyway. I think this is a Hall of Fame worthy performance. This is the greatest defensive performance in Super Bowl history. I mean, it's not just because they held the Rams to 3 points. I mean, the Bears had a fantastic defensive performance against the Patriots, gave up a late garbage touchdown, and the Patriots scored 10. But it was the way in which, even when Patrick Chung left the game, boy, they just confused the Rams the entire game. The Rams were never in the red zone. Forget the fact that they, you know, didn't score a touchdown. They weren't in the red zone the whole game. They got to Jared Goff. They pressured him. They didn't allow them to run. The Rams will run in three wide receiver sets. They weren't able to run the ball at all. Throwing the ball, guys were covered. Great defensive plays. McCourty running in on that touchdown pass to Brandon Cooks. It was wide open in the end zone, and it was just knocked out at the last possible second. You saw that time and time again. Cooks also had a pass. Also had a touchdown catch down the sideline late in the fourth quarter. He dropped it, but you see a Patriot hand kind of coming in and knocking it, just kind of touching it enough to sort of kind of get into his arms and fall off. It was executed brilliantly. There was complete confusion, whether it was going to zone or man, however you want to define what the Patriots were doing. It was a really brilliant defensive scheme. And it goes back to something I was talking about at the top of the hour. We are so accustomed to liking offense that we watch games now and we want to see fireworks, that when we get a defensive performance, and again, give it to the Rams too, because the Rams kept that game close with Wade Phillips and his defensive scheme against the Patriots. We don't appreciate defense very much. We don't appreciate that. Watch an NBA game that's 89 to 87, and you'll find the same kind of reaction. Maybe it is because, offense sells, right? And we love it, and we need it. But you can go to a hockey game in a 1-0 game and have it be really exciting when you watch the goaltenders making save after save after save. There's an appreciation there for what you're seeing. If you go to a baseball game and it's a pitcher's duel and you're watching guys paint the corners and getting guys out on curveballs and inducing fly ball outs and eliminating the threats on second base with good a strikeout here and a ground ball out or whatever it is. If you love baseball, that is something you can watch and appreciate. You can leave the stadium going, that was great. The two guys, it was 1-0, and these two guys pitched lights out baseball. But you go to a football game, go to any NFL stadium in the country, watch a 10-3 game, watch a 9-3 game, and you will find a majority of people to be disappointed. So it's no surprise when people were watching the Super Bowl, called it boring and awful, because the defense was ruling the day. Now, I'm going to give a caveat to that, because I'm not going to go down this was a great defensive battle and these two offenses were both of the offenses in this game were bad. They were bad because of good defense, and they were bad because they were bad. Jared Goff, I'm still under the belief and the contention that he was lost in this game, right? Confused in this game.
He choked.
Deer in the headlights in this game. Exactly. Exactly. Tom Brady didn't have a good game either. I mean, Tom Brady wasn't lighting it up until late. So both offenses struggled on their own self. And defenses had a say in that, but it's not entirely two offenses that couldn't get anything done because of defense. Two offenses that couldn't get it done because they were inept, and also that they, the defenses played a role in that. But we don't appreciate defense. We just don't. And yet we have a defensive performance for the ages that was on display. It was just because it was 13-3, people are like, ugh. I don't like that.
No, it's funny that you say that, because we look back and go, oh my God, I wish we had an 85 Bears defense. Oh, I wish we had the 2000 Ravens defense. We're like yearning for a great defensive performance, and then we get one. We're like, oh God, who wants to see that?
Who wants to see that? People are saying one of the top five worst Super Bowls of all time.
Right.
Okay, listen, I get that. And listen, I was trying to argue with a friend of mine Monday afternoon about it. And he was like, I was so bored. And I'm like, bored? All right, it's 3-3. Did that matter? Nah. All right, the game was in doubt until the end, right? The Patriots got the ball back on the interception, went down for the field goal, right? That put him up by 10. But still, the Rams had the ball with a chance to tie down 10-3. Didn't matter. He wanted what he was getting accustomed to this season, with the talk of defense is dead, long live the offense.
Yeah, right? I mean, honestly, if you found boredom in the Super Bowl, it's the regular season's fault.
That's exactly right. It's the regular season's fault, completely.
Because, I mean, we saw record-breaking scoring going on. I mean, with what Pat Mahomes was doing with the Chiefs and the Rams averaging, almost 35 points a game, and the Saints doing the Saints their thing, everyone was putting up points.
And because of that, that's why I think this is a Hall of Fame worthy game plan that goes into Canton as one of the greatest defensive performances of all time.
It was 3-0 at half.
3-0 at halftime. And listen, the Patriots, right? Listen, the Patriots faced Kansas City and the Rams and held both of these teams scoreless in the first half of both games. These are the two teams that gave us the greatest offensive display we had ever seen in a game that Monday night. And the Patriots held both of them scoreless in 30 minutes of football. Okay, so that means combined, the two high-scoring teams in the NFL, it combined, were held scoreless in a full game of football by the New England Patriots. What a remarkable... You take the worst team in the NFL, and they'll find a way to put something on the board. Find the worst offense in the league, and they'll find a way to put three on the board. And the Patriots shut both of them out, 60 minutes total of football. That is remarkable, and it's not being held up as something fantastic. Maybe it's because it's the Patriots, and maybe because we're so accustomed to offense, we're not learning to appreciate what we saw with New England's game plan. And we should. We should, because it was brilliant. Listen, go back to that Giants Super Bowl, okay? And the reason I brought it up at the top of the hour, go back to the Giants Super Bowl, where Bill Belichick's defense contained Buffalo. Buffalo, Jim Kelly, Thurman Thomas, Andre Reed, right? All of those weapons that he had and just lighting up the AFC. Belichick devised a game plan to control that, right? They, again, allowed Thurman Thomas to run, but nullified the deep threat, nullified the bomb, nullified the big passing play that Buffalo had exploited all the whole season and into the postseason. Okay. When that Super Bowl was ended, not only did people say one of the most exciting Super Bowls of all time, right? Missed field goal at the end that would have won it. We've had blowouts, and now we got an awesome close game. But it wasn't lost on the average NFL fan that they watched a great defensive performance by the Giants. It wasn't lost on the fans. People were really, saw that and appreciated what the Giants defense had done to Joe Montana in the NFC Championship game, knocking him out too, but also what they did to Jim Kelly and the Bills. It wasn't lost. This is getting lost, and it's getting lost, as you pointed out, there's a great line. It's the regular season's fault because we now want 33-31, 34-31, 37-34, 41. We want that now. When we don't get it, we think something's wrong with the product. And something's not wrong with the product because the product is supposed to be offense and defense, one or the other or both. We just happen to get defense in the Super Bowl. And what do people say? One of the worst Super Bowls ever. It's a close game. It was a close game until a late field goal made it a two-score game. It wasn't 44-3. It was 13-3.
No, and it was yet another Patriots game decided on a fourth quarter drive.
Right. Right.
And we don't appreciate it, which is now the only thing I do agree with all the Twitter trolls out there when they're remarking whether or not Julian Edelman deserved the MVP was, you know what? We had such a great defensive battle. Why couldn't a defensive player have taken the MVP trophy home?
That's true.
But again, I don't know which defensive player on the Patriots really stood out.
Yeah, who do you give it to? Dante Hightower? Does he get? I heard his name as a possible.
But that was the thing. It was
one of the McCourties.
It was a team effort. It was almost like if you're going to do the MVP, you just got to give it to Patriots defense and don't let it be.
Yeah, exactly.
Because there wasn't one person in my mind that was like, oh, he really stood out. He was the catalyst for everything that happened. There wasn't anyone.
Yeah, you wouldn't give it to Brady. He was rather pedestrian.
No.
Edelman, 10 catches, 140 yards. Okay.
Yep.
14 yards per catch. Okay. That seems to be legit. So, but again, like I see headlines, Super Bowl 53 wasn't the worst of all time, but it's up there. Oh, yeah, I see that because, again, the offense, I mean, look, it would have been great if these two quarterbacks played, looked sharp, but was befuddled by defenses. Both of them, I mean, Brady's throwing the ball into the ground. Goff looks like confused and rushed. I mean, it was like Sean McVay didn't make any adjustments. So there's things to hate about the Super Bowl. But I also think if you really look between the numbers and see what Bill Belichick devised, it's pretty remarkable. All right, 800-777-2907 is the number. Coming up, I have a plan for the Patriots next season from media members. I'll tell you what that is next. Tony D, Ron Culver, it's SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM. on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, when it gets cold out there and your vehicle needs some extra attention, O'Reilly Auto Parts is everything you need to keep your vehicle toasty warm. From choosing the right antifreeze for your engine to replacing your windshield wiper blades, O'Reilly will help you get your car or truck in fighting shape this winter. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. I came up with this plan, Ron, for the Patriots next season for media members, which is whenever you talk to New England at any point from the training camp all the way through to the end of the season, tell them how awesome they are all year long.
Yes.
Tell them how awesome they are. So preface every question with, clearly you're the best team in the AFC. Do you find that challenging to blah, 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 blah? After a loss, this is very uncharacteristic for you guys being the best team in football to lose a game like this. What do you attribute it that to? When looking ahead to a game, saying, do you think you'll bounce after a loss? Do you think you'll bounce back and win that game by double digits like good teams like you guys are? Or do you think it might be more of a dogfight and you'll only win by single digits? Just keep pumping them up and keep inflating their ego. So when the nonsense of we're still here next year, everyone will point to all of these interviews saying, well, everybody thought that you would be. There's no nobody thought we were going to make it. Okay, yeah.
The Patriots have their parade today. What chant will come away from it? I mean, because, you know, well, what was it, 2 years ago we got no days off? Will it be worse?
No days off. Who wants to work at a place where you don't get a day off? Like, come on. I don't care how dedicated you are. What a dumb thing. Let's see. What chant?
No days off.
No days off. Stop with that nonsense.
God, I mean, maybe it is.
We're still here.
What if they're cruising down to the underdog theme?
Totally going to. That would be great.
I mean,
that would be great.
Outside of literally, we talk about this. We talked about this ad nauseum. That outside of New England, everyone hates. You know, nobody wanted the Patriots to win, right? And the same thing outside of New England, no one thought that they were underdogs.
No one did. No one thought.
Did we really think that? Oh my God! You know, the Patriots. I can't believe they made it. This is just beyond us to think that. I mean, we said it was beyond us to realize that they've made it to their ninth Super Bowl in 17 years. But we never said that, oh, you know what? Yeah, they don't deserve to be here. They got hot at the right time.
I talked to so many people in Atlanta last week, and just either on the air or off the air, no one thought that they were the surprise AFC participant. And nobody was picking against them. Like, even I, when I picked the Rams, was like pretty much reluctant to do so. Nobody thought we could do this. So next year, make sure that you know everyone thinks they can do it. Make sure everybody thinks they can do it.
Yes.
Just be like, they can. You know, it'd be so shocking if you didn't make it to the Super Bowl. And have them go, well, you know, the AFC is really difficult and we've got a lot of things that we need to fix. Oh, really? Because last year we said the exact same thing and you were insulted by that notion.
Listen, I'm going to make
the... teams out there that played better than you during the regular season.
I'll make the guarantee right now. They'll win the AFC East next season.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So they're they'll make the playoffs and they'll probably get a first round bye.
And that means they'll host the divisional game, and that means they'll more than likely play for the AFC Championship for the, what?
100th time in a row.
Year, whatever 100. It is.
That's 100 now, Tony.
God.
And so
2011 was the last time they didn't make the AFC title game.
Yep. So there we go. We've put the guarantee down. Yeah, I'm not going to guarantee that they make the Super Bowl. And I love how all the pundits are coming out going, oh, you know what? It'll be the Chargers next season. Oh, it'll be the Chiefs. It'll be, you know, the Texans. I've heard the Texans thrown out there. It's like, God, you know, just have the Texans win a game, win a playoff game. They're very dangerous to becoming the Bengals.
Right.
They make the playoffs, but they can't do anything about it.
And I love how Brian Flores takes the job with with the Miami Dolphins, and they're like, well, how's that going to affect the Patriots next year? Pretty much not. I mean, think about every assistant coach that has moved on. Exactly. Tell me how the loss of Mike Patricia hurt them. How the loss that Romeo Crennel hurt them. How about Charlie Weiss? He left. They still continue to win games. Josh McDaniels left for a big period of time. They continued to win. Tell me the assistant coach that has fallen off the Belichick tree for his own thing that has derailed the Patriots in the last 17 years. Right? Don't give me this. Don't create a story that's not a story. That's no offense to Brian Flores. Maybe he'll be fantastic in Miami and do a great job. Or maybe he'll get fired in 2 years and be back in New England, becoming an assistant coach again. I wish him all the best. I hope he does great. Miami could use a solid coach.
You just touted, you know, the Patriots' defensive performance in the Super Bowl is Hall of Fame worthy. You didn't give any credit to Flores.
Yeah.
It was all Belichick, and we know that it's him devising the plan, and he's telling Flores, this is how I want to do things. This is how I want to run it. Make it so. And now Flores is in charge of a team, and I'm sitting there, man, I hope the Dolphins don't have high hopes that this was the guy who, you know, was behind the mastermind of this, you know, defensive juggernaut that we saw in the Super Bowl. Because I don't think he had much to do with it.
Yeah, Belichick is such an unbelievable defensive genius. If he wasn't participating in this, it would be a waste of amazing talent. He's incredible at it. He's brilliant. I mean, again, he orchestrated a defensive game plan's in the Hall of Fame. Oh, come on, that's great. To put that in, that's fantastic. And this is one of the greatest defensive performances we've seen in the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
it may have been boring, but
you know, it is boring. But you know, when you sit back and you think about it, you know. Like everything we've said about the Patriots, when you look back on it 20 years from now, you're going to go, man, that was an incredible, incredible feat. It really
was. You know
what
I think? I think when people want a defensive performance, it's like they want one side to be the defensive performance.
Yes.
And then kind of watch the route, right?
Yeah, they want the Bears.
What you got was Wade Phillips and Bill Belichick each putting on a great show. They want the Bears, exactly. Or they want the Cowboys beating the Bills, forcing 9 turnovers, where it was just a route, but you're sitting there going, how bad could this be? Like, how bad is this going to get for one team? They're getting slaughtered, and they're getting crushed, and you kind of like watch the carnage. When both teams are like, ineffective on offense, and both defensive coordinators and both defensive minds are putting together a good show, it's like,
we really only had one red zone. I'm trying to think. I think we only had one. I'm trying to think. I'm like red zone at bat, but I know that's not the right term. But we only
had one red zone possession.
Possession. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because the Gronkowski catch was what, 20 something yards, so 29 yards to the 2 yard line.
And then
they ran it in on the next play.
And that catch in itself was, I mean, you really had to like thread the needle with that. There was, you know, that ball, if it was a centimeter off either other way, it wouldn't have been a catch.
It was so brilliant, though, the way offensively they ran that same play on the other side, a very similar play, that wheel route on the other side. And then they basically ran that a couple of times, that same kind of set. And then Gronkowski he beats three guys out just enough. And Brady's like, here you go, take this right in his basket and throws it perfect.
Yeah, only where he could catch it. That's what I said. I mean, if it's a centimeter off, that ball's deflected, the ball's uncatchable. You know, it's all those things, and we don't have a red zone possession. But we got one in this game, and we're, you know, I mean, yeah, it's not sexy, but it was an amazing thing to watch.
And when Sony Michel scored the touchdown, there was a moment in my brain where I was like, it might as well be 30-3. Like,
right.
That touchdown might as well be worth 30 points in this game. Because I was like, the Rams have shown nothing, and now all of a sudden, if I want the Rams to win, I need them to go down the field and score a touchdown when they hadn't even gotten to the red zone all game. And then they almost did. And then they almost scored a touchdown. Again, Cooks had the ball in his hand. You watch it on replay and it looks a little bit like, you know, damn, Patriot might have tipped it or whatever, but he still was in his grasp. He still makes a living catching footballs. He should have caught that.
No, that's conspiracy. But he was with the team last year. They promised him
a ring. The McCourty play was like, I watched that again yesterday. The McCourty play was great. He is at a full sprint. I read that he was 18 yards from the play the moment the ball was released.
I bet.
He had to cover that ground as fast as he could and get there at the nick of time, at the nick of time to knock it away, to get that out of there. Great, great play.
Great play. Losing Patrick Chung didn't hurt them. I mean, I thought it was going to be absolutely bad.
No, it's terrible, like everything with the Patriots. It's so easy. The only two people that you can't replace on the Patriots is Brady and Belichick. Everybody else is replaceable.
Yep, exactly. All right, coming up, how does a Super Bowl win by the Patriots shape offenses next year, or does it? We'll examine that. It's SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, if you want to join in the program, you want to tweet us, it's at Tony D Radio. You can also hit Ron Culver up at Ron Culver, and that's Ron with two N's. I got a tweet yesterday from a guy that said, Pier 8 Barbecue. I enjoy Super Bowl 53. Then again, I still watch Oklahoma versus Nebraska games from the 70s and 80s, and I'm thoroughly entertained. That's great. That's cool. Old school football. I like that. I like that. Well, there's some of you out there that like defensive battles. There's nothing wrong with that. This seems like very, very few people. So the question that I have now is, okay, so now we just watched a Super Bowl where the Patriots defense, and the Rams defense for that matter, took center stage in a year where we were all kind of geeked out offensively. Does when we go into 2019, okay, we have a whole offseason and we forget some things, we remember some things, we process some things. There's going to be a draft, there's going to be free agency, there's going to be a feeling like this team is going into this season better than this team is dysfunctional, this whatever it is, all right, all the things we normally do going into a season. When we go into 2019, are we still looking at a league that is going to be predominantly dominated by offense? Are we now going to see teams that defensively we're going to have to consider as some of the favorites going into the conferences, right? You look at the odds to win the Super Bowl next year that Vegas put out after the Super Bowl. These are just betting odds. There's no predictions. You got to remember that when Vegas does this stuff. But they're fun talking points, nevertheless. But they've got the Chiefs, right? Well, Chiefs didn't have a great defense last year. It's good. They put pressure on you, but they weren't one of the top defensive units in the league. But they had one of the best offenses in the country, right? The Rams had a good offense and a good defense. Like the Rams had a really good combination of both. But when you look at a team like the Broncos, if the Broncos can get themselves a decent quarterback with Vic Fangio as the head coach, well, what does that say about what they might be able to do in a land where the Chiefs and the Chargers are dominating that division and the Patriots are still around and the Browns may be on the uptick and right, the Indianapolis Colts finally got an offensive line for Andrew Luck. What about a Broncos defense that can make waves in the AFC? What about the Bears going into next season? Does defense now become the thing we're looking at, or are we still offensive-minded? I think we're offensive-minded. I still think we're going to go into the season looking and being more impressed with the team that can put up 45 in a blink than a team that can hold a team to 10. I just think we're wired that way. And the league is helping that by saying, hey, defenses, you're hamstrung with all of these rules, hamstrung with all of these inabilities. I still think we're an offensive-oriented fan base, and we'll be very impressed with a team that can chuck the football around and throw for 50 touchdowns like Patrick Mahomes, even if his defense is middle of the road or slightly better than middle of the road, but not top five. I think we'll still look at those teams as more threats than a Bears team that may struggle at getting consistent quarterback play, but have a great defense that can shut you down. I don't think the Super Bowl changes the conversation. Now, it should. I mean, we always talk about defense wins championships, and it's a cliche, but it seems to work, right? One of the things that you and I talked about, Ron, was going into the Super Bowl was at the beginning of the week, we said, wow, isn't this amazing that we've got, you know, an NFC and AFC championship game that's got four of the highest scoring teams in the league, top four, right there in the championship. Offense is taking center stage. Oh, you didn't have to go back that far when defense won a Super Bowl, Super Bowl 50, where defense won a Super Bowl. Well, defense won a Super Bowl here. So it comes back full circle.
Yeah, and the problem is that, you know, when you look back at Super Bowl 50, it was exactly what you were describing earlier, was that, yeah, we had a defensive performance for the ages, but it was a rout. It was a blowout. One team was putting up points. One team had no issues on offense and satisfied that offensive need that we want to see. I think what most people are upset about with this game is that there was one touchdown.
There was only one touchdown.
And the touchdown came, what was it, like a 1 yard carry, maybe a 2 yard carry?
Yeah, 2 yard carry, yep. You're right.
You know, that was the one offensive touchdown. Other than that, we had long field goals. We didn't have, you know, oh, they got stopped in the red zone, now we're gonna do a chip shot. No, every field goal that took, I don't remember there being an attempt that was like 35 yards in or something.
My first thought when Zuerlein hit his field goal, I remember we had talked about that there was a slight or kind of a report that he has slight injury on his plant foot. Remember that later in the week? And I remember thinking he might miss this but then he didn't. He kicked it right down the middle. But look, this, you know, we like offense, right? We like it. We talked about this the Monday night game. Every defensive player I talked to last week said they didn't like that game, right? Of course they didn't like that game. There was no defense, right? They thought it was a little weird, right? To have a 55-52 game, whatever the final score was between the Rams and the Chiefs. But as a fan, it was enjoyable. You may have been watching a football abomination, right? Because there was no defense being played, and there's a yin and a yang to a football game that you want to find the equal balance, right? But at the same time, you couldn't help but be thoroughly enjoyed by this. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is running around, throws the ball. Oh my God, it's complete. It's a 60-yard gain, right? That's fun. That was fun. You get a game like this where both defenses are getting three and outs, forcing not really forcing turnovers. I think it was only two in the game, but forcing bad, you know, rolls. The Rams had like 20 plus plays in which they didn't gain a yard or were negative yards in the game, right? That's solid on the defensive front. And Aaron Donald, for a defensive game, Aaron Donald, you know, barely was mentioned, right? Aaron Donald was double teamed on the blocking, barely was mentioned. But still, both Wade Phillips and Belichick Flores put together a game plan that was fantastic and executed that game plan brilliantly. And yet, it wasn't entertaining. We didn't find it a football abomination. We found it more of something not to enjoy. Where on the flip side, you give me 55-52, which we know has a missing element to it. There's no defense being played. There's no offense being played in the Super Bowl. And yet, one is more praised, and one is more enjoyable, and one is more fun to watch, and one draws out people, and one gets people talking, and one gets people talking more positively, and that's that Monday night game, than the Super Bowl. So you see one aspect. You see one aspect displayed in both games. Solid defense on both sides. Solid offense on both sides. No offense in the Super Bowl. No defense in that Monday night game. And yet that Monday night game drew more people to, hey, man, I love this. I like this. This is cool. I don't know if I want a steady diet of this, but at least for one night, I'm cool with it. I don't need my league to go down the road of arena football, but man, this was enjoyable. If you told people that the 2019 season was going to be games like you saw in the Super Bowl, close games, but 13-3, let's say the league had the magic wand to make that happen, you'd draw people pouring away from the Super Bowl, from the NFL. They wouldn't want to watch this week in and week out. They wouldn't want anything to do with this if that's what you gave them week in and week out.
But I think the main difference, you know, we always go back to that Chiefs-Rams game. There was actually decent defense being played. I mean, you know, obviously the score got way out of control. It was an offensive showcase, and that's what we remember it for. But, I mean, there was a fumble return for a touchdown. There was an interception return for a touchdown. There were defensive plays. It was just that the offensive plays came rapid, came quickly. And that's what we were fevering for. And it kind of set the tone for the entire regular season that this was what we were getting now, was high-powered offensives. Yeah, there's a few defensive plays that are nice. That one showcased, you know, the greatness of, you know what, here's a defensive, you know, we had a couple defensive scores. Here's a couple, you know, interceptions. There weren't many punts, basically. And, you know, this one, we had a punter who was on the verge of breaking the punting record.
Yeah, he punted nine times, and I voted for him for the MVP at one point, middle of the game.
Yeah, he should have been.
But look at the way, I'll tell you this, I'm still connected in Denver, and when Vic Fangio got hired, people weren't totally upset with that hire. Vic Fangio is a good guy that people were saying deserves a shot at being a head coach. What Bronco fans, for example, were really concerned about was who's going to be the offensive coordinator. And when Rick Scangarello got hired, the quarterback's coach of the Niners, who had a Kyle Shanahan connection, right? That made them excited because it was something new and different, and it was heading to the norm of where the leagues were going, right? Zach Taylor just got the job with the Cincinnati Bengals, Rams quarterbacks coach, right? Matt LaFleur is now the head coach of Aaron Rodgers of the Green Bay Packers after one season in Tennessee where his offense was mediocre. But because he was connected to Sean McVay, he gets that job, or he interviews well enough and is interested enough in that job. Cliff Kingsbury, high flying offense in the Big 12. He's now the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals. If you have a job opening, right, you don't necessarily go the Vic Fangio, Brian Flores route. You want a head coach that can be a quarterback whisperer / offensive genius / Sean McVay like, and that's where the league is going. That's where teams want their that's where fans want their teams to go. But if you give me a stellar defense like the Broncos and you pair it up with an offense that's slightly above average, not necessarily great, if you give me that might be more damaging than a high flying offense with a bad defense that's going into 2019. But again, sellable? Not really. Because again, you have two extremes on both sides, a 55-52 game, whatever the final score that was, to 13-3 Super Bowl. And one is boring and awful. And the other one is, man, I could do a few more of those. Those were fun. Right. But one aspect, we just don't appreciate the other side of the aisle. We just don't appreciate the other side of the ball. But that's different in baseball. I take you to a baseball game that's 13-12, and there's home runs and there's triples and doubles. You can sit back and go, man, that was fun. Maybe it took a little longer than I wanted, but that was fun. Take you to a 1-0 pitcher's duel, man, that was exciting. Good. But you give me the same thing in the NFL. Nah, one's boring and terrible. I never want to see this again. Right. You ever gone to an NBA game where it was 88, 87? It's awful. It's absolutely abysmal. Memphis Grizzlies, absolutely abysmal. 800-777-2907. It is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
Hi, this is Mike Kersing from Let's Talk Wheels with an automotive tip brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. You know, when I was a kid, I remember going out with my dad before a big freeze and checking the antifreeze in our cars. Because back in the 60s, antifreeze or coolant had to be changed every year or two. In this era, most people don't even think about their cooling system. When was the last time you had your coolant and radiator hoses checked? Most leave it to the oil change guy to check that stuff, and that's great, as long as they really do it. Antifreeze or coolant is supposed to last 5 years. Maybe it does in a perfect world, but I've seen 4-year-old cooling systems filled with rust. I change mine every 3 years, because when the additives in your antifreeze or coolant wear out, the pH level changes, and it corrodes the system it's really supposed to protect. And this could get really expensive, folks. But what's not expensive is reminding your shop to check it for you. Best of all, most will do it for free. This is Mike Kersing with Let's Talk Wheels, brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. For more of my tips, go to letstalkwheels.com or find us on Facebook as Let's Talk Wheels.
To celebrate the Jeep President's Day event, we're creating our own motorcade of the most awarded, best-selling SUV brand ever to hit the road and explore what lies beyond it. Leading the procession is Jeep Wrangler, American legend, and the 2019 Motor Trend SUV of the Year. Following close is Jeep Grand Cherokee, the most awarded SUV ever, and versatile Jeep Compass with its class-leading technology and connectivity. And rounding it all out is Jeep Cherokee with its nimble 31 MPG highway. But great deals on this motorcade will be coming to an end soon. So hurry in today to the Jeep President's Day event. The Jeep brand and Jeep Grand Cherokee have received more awards over their lifetime than any other SUV or SUV brand. Based on compact SUV segmentation, OEM website, auto knowledge, EPA estimated 4-cylinder, 4x2. Actual mileage may vary. Jeep is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation AM. Did you see the Endgame trailer for the new Marvel movie that's coming out in April?
Of course.
That was pretty good, wasn't it?
Yep. Let the conspiracy theories begin.
Yeah, that looked decent enough. Am I supposed to watch the Captain Marvel movie before I watch the
Endgame
movie?
I think so. I think you're supposed to get an idea of what she can actually do.
Yeah, okay, fine.
One thing I did like about it, it just seemed really eerie to see a city in ruins and no one around.
Yeah,
no kidding. Just that quick little shot was like, what?
You ever seen that? It was, I think it was like 10 years ago. History Channel did a Life After People series. Did you see that?
No.
Okay, so what they did was they had this series where they would say, okay, let's imagine all the humans are gone. Right? Gone. So what would the world do? So they would show you, like, within a couple of days, how, okay, you don't, people aren't mowing their lawns, and so the grass starts growing, but then people aren't doing basic, you know, weed killing and things, so the weeds start growing, and then a couple of days. But one of the interesting things were, like, because bridges have to be constantly painted for rust and erosion and whatnot, how long it would take if you didn't paint, like, the Golden Gate Bridge, how long it would take for that paint to sort of get eaten away by the elements, and then rust and corrosion would hit the bridge, and it would take 100 years, but eventually the bridge just goes into the water. It just wouldn't be able to support itself. And then they talked about how weeds would just grow, like windows would just break, and then weeds would get in the houses, and how it would just, it was awful. I mean, it was apocalyptic watching. It's like amazing that we control the earth like we do, because they talked about all these insects would just rule. They were talking about all, like, dogs would have to roll around and go back to their wolf nature, because they would have an instinct to eat just any meat that they possibly could get. Yeah, so your lovable dog, like the dog that kind of cuddles up with you, would instantly become like a wolf. Either would get eaten or would have to eat other animals.
No, I think chihuahuas would become extinct.
Yeah, right. Right, exactly.
They can't survive in the wild. They said
the instinct would take over. Yeah, like the instinct would start taking over. They would just start devouring. It was insane. I mean, I was like, it was an amazing series. And I watched it with like this feeling of dread. Like, boy, I better mow my lawn because the weeds will take over. And I'll be just choked to death by the kudzu that comes into my house.
I know what I'm doing this weekend. Right. I've been neglecting it. We've had bad weather here.
But you know what? But that trailer for that movie had that same eerie feeling. Like, half the population is gone, and it's just why do anything? Yeah.
That's what makes it exciting. I'm just curious. Yeah. I'm just curious to see how they wrap it all up.
Me too.
How they get back to square one.
Absolutely. I like that line, some people move on, but not us, from Captain America.
That's pretty good.
Coming up, we'll get into some NBA, where Anthony Davis could end up in the Patriots and the Rams. That ratings were down. We'll talk about that coming up next. SB Nation AM.